Hello and good
Blog
evening.
Talk
Thank
Radio.
You for. Hello and good evening. Thank you for joining us this evening on the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence radio talk show. My name is Dr. Lillian Agbaegbe, and I'm your host for this evening's show. Joining me on the show today is Dr. Akida Pearson. Dr. Pearson? Appears Dr. Pearson has not joined us yet. So I'm just going to start and talk to you about October. This is the month of October. October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. This is a month that has been set aside to engage people who ordinarily are not involved in the domestic violence work to contribute to the issue of domestic violence. There are so many ways in which you can participate in Domestic Violence Awareness Month. You can participate by attending an awareness event. You can actually host an awareness event yourself. How do you do that, you might ask? Well, you can reach out to a domestic violence organization in or around you. One of them is The Rest of Our Life. I am the executive director at The Rest of Our Life, and we do educational awareness events. We will be glad to join you and come and present to your constituents. You can reach us at therestofourlife@gmail.com. You can also go to our website, www.therestofourlife.com, and you can reach us at therestofourlife.com. Thank you very much for thinking about that. If you cannot reach us directly, you can find an organization in your neighborhood. You can donate to a domestic violence organization this month. You can also in a walk, an awareness, whatever event for domestic violence awareness this month. Again, if you're just joining us, you're joining us on the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence radio talk show tonight. This is Dr. Lillian Agbaegbe, and I'm your host for this evening. This evening, we're talking about addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. Addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. What do we mean? If you have joined us, can you let me, Dr. Pearson, are you on the line now?
Dr. Lillian and Deacon Farr, Dr. Pearson not on the line yet. Reaching out to try and make a connection with her now.
Okay, thank you very much. You just heard from Deacon Farr. Deacon Farr is a member of the Howard County Coalition to End Intimate Partner Violence. And what we do at the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence is we hold a quarterly dialogue series in Howard County where we come together and share information on various things. We have addressed various issues, including domestic violence in faith communities, engaging men in preventing domestic violence in the workplace, and also domestic violence that affects young people. You can find out more information about the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence by going to our website, www.therestofourlife.com. This evening, we're addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. What do we mean when we say addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God? We know that domestic violence, which we also call intimate partner violence, is manifested in four recognized behaviors. And those behaviors are physical violence. And that's something that people are very aware of, you know. So if somebody has a wound or scar, people can know that you're in an abusive relationship. Although some people are very well able to disguise whether they're in an abusive relationship, they wear long sleeves, they wear sunshades, and you don't know that they're in an abusive relationship. But whether the disguise is there or not, physical violence is a well-recognized form of intimate partner violence. Other forms of intimate partner violence are psychological abuse. And psychological abuse includes when somebody is being belittled and your self-worth is diminished. Sexual violence is a form of intimate partner violence, as well as stalking. All of these behaviors are what constitutes intimate partner violence. And if we want to address intimate partner violence for the love of God, what are we saying? Well, we want to start from the premise that God is love. Unfortunately, many people use the scriptures as a foundation to practice intimate partner violence. What do I mean? Well, you may have heard it before. It's the Bible verse in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22, downward. It says, "Wife, submit to your own husbands as the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church and is savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." And many people have interpreted the scripture, continue to interpret the scripture to say that a woman should just do anything that her husband says and has to comply with every directive that comes from her husband. We want to challenge the believers who are listening to us today to really, if you're going to use your Bible, look at your Bible closely. And we want to start from a very common and very popular scripture, John 3:16. I'm going to bother to open my Bible, but I'm sure that a lot of you do not need to open your Bible to see what John 3:16 says. It's a scripture that even non-practicing believers are very well aware of. John 3:16 says that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." And so for the love of God, God so loved the world. He loved the man, he loved the woman, he loved the wife, and he loved the husband. And if God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, then we who are supposedly in a relationship as believers should not take Ephesians 5:22 to say that you must be subject to your husband under terrible conditions. When I say that, though, I'm speaking in particular with this scripture. We do understand that domestic violence happens in both genders. So in some relationship, the woman is the abuser, and in some relationship, the man is the abuser. But we're talking particularly about this scripture because this scripture is used for in cases where men are the abusers and women are the victims. And so we're saying, look at what the Bible says. If you look at what the Bible says, then you are not able to justify, to use the Bible as justification for practicing abuse. We want to look at Luke chapter 6, verse 13 also. It says, "Do to others as you would have them do unto you." What the abuser does to the victim is, believe it or not, is not what the abuser would like to be done to them. So you don't want somebody to hit you. You don't want somebody to abuse you. You don't want somebody to insult you. You don't want somebody to belittle you. If that is what you are going through, then you should reciprocate what you want. And so we're saying, for the love of God, do unto your spouse as you would like your spouse to do unto you. For the love of God, okay? We're saying, for the love of God, the word of God says in Romans 12:9, this love must be sincere. Love must be sincere. And there's no sincere love that inflicts harm, that inflicts hurt, that inflicts pain. And if you say that you are a believer, the thing to do is not to take the Bible and distort it. We must understand what the Bible says about the love. The Bible tells us that God is love. Again, if you look at 1 Corinthians 13:4-8, it tells us that love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. Love never fails. We are talking about addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. There is no way those behaviors that qualify as intimate partner violence, physical abuse, sexual abuse, psychological abuse, and stalking can be manifested if, for the love of God, we're in compliance with 1 Corinthians 13:4-8. Deacon Furr.
Yes, we have Dr. Pearson's on the line. She should be up. Dr. Pierce, can you hear us?
Good evening.
Hello, Dr. Okeda Pearson. Nice to have you on the show today. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So we just started. We've been talking a little bit, and we're talking about Domestic Violence Awareness Month. We're talking about our topic today is addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. But I know that October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. I was wondering if you could share with us some of the things that you have lined up for Domestic Violence Awareness Month and what you would encourage the listeners to do in Domestic Violence Awareness Month.
Well, I would encourage the listeners to, one of the things that they can do is to, one, make themselves more aware of the significance of why October was set aside by President Obama with a proclamation in observance of Domestic Violence Month for October, and to understand the seriousness of why we recognize this particular month, and to know the devastation that domestic violence causes for family, for youth, for children, for jobs, for our society. Along with educating themselves, it is also good to particularly have opportunities where they could not just read and educate themselves online. They could visit the Maryland Network Against Domestic Violence. They could also look at some of the service providers, such as Turnaround in Baltimore County. They could look at the House of Ruth, which has locations throughout the state of Maryland. There is a coalition called the Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition. And the Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition is an entity that was founded by Judge Karen Freeman and Judge David Young a few years ago as judges, because of them seeing so many domestic violence cases in their court, and people really having a lack of knowledge as it relates to the severity of domestic violence, the lack of individuals supporting victims, as well as systems being in place to ensure that the perpetrators of abuse get the help they need, even though some of the help that they need may be incarceration, along with being court ordered to what we call abuse intervention programs, AIP programs. We would like to strongly encourage everyone who can to attend the Interfaith Domestic Violence Annual Day of Learning. That annual day of learning is scheduled for Wednesday, October the 25th. It is an all-day event where all faith leaders, lay members, anyone who would like to learn more about domestic violence, what is going on throughout the state of Maryland as it relates to domestic violence, to join the Interfaith Coalition in Annapolis at the Judiciary Building. For additional information, you can go on to the governor's website. You can go on to maryland.gov. You can look up the Interfaith Domestic Violence Coalition and click on the tab, and you can register to attend that event, which is, once again, October the 25th. And it will be held in Annapolis at the Judiciary Committee building, and it starts at 8:30. So those are just
thank
a couple of things.
Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Pearson. I will be attending the event on October 25th, and I encourage our listeners, if you can make it, this is going to be a very informative event, and would be very glad to have you participate in the event. Dr. Pearson, today we're talking about addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. Why should the love of God affect how we address intimate partner violence?
That is very important, because oftentimes individuals look at abuse more so than anything in our society from a physical standpoint. So if they don't see something that is physical, a black eye, a broke arm, they really don't associate abuse with it. But we know that they're verbal abuse, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, and there is spiritual abuse as well, using the scriptures as a way to control and have power over someone. And when we look at for the love of God, oftentimes people take the word of God and interpret it in a way that is abusive. And there are specific scriptures, some scriptures that you have already shared as relates to how one can control, particularly although we know that there are women that abuse their spouses or intimate partners, and there are also men, and more so men, from my experience, as relates to using scripture as a ways and means to have power and control over their wives. Many are pastors who utilize the scriptures to reinforce the love of God, but in an abusive manner to their spouses, which is out of context, because when we look at what love is based on the Bible, it is not abusive.
No, love is definitely not abusive. And some of the things that I have been sharing here, I've talked about John 3:16, where it says that, "For God so loved the world, and if God has sent his Son to die for us, then people have no business using scriptures as a basis for practicing abuse." We've also looked at the biblical verse that says that love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, your partner is a type of your neighbor. And so there's no way that you can love your partner as yourself and be exposing your partner to physical violence, sexual violence, psychological violence, or stalking. This is one interesting one that I also think about, and you can tell me what you think about it. Galatians 5:22-23. We're talking about addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God, especially in relationships where people are using scriptures as a basis to practice abusive behavior or to condone abusive behavior. Here is what the Word of God says in Galatians 5:22-23. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance." And you cannot be abusing somebody and they be in joy. You cannot be abusing somebody and they be peace. You cannot be abusing somebody if you're being gentle, if you're being good. And some people, because of abuse, have lost their faith. But we're supposed to be manifesting this gift in the Christian life. What do you have to say about that, Dr. Pearson?
Absolutely. I am in total agreement as it relates to the fruits of the Spirit, and the fruits of the Spirit are characteristics of love. However, individuals can take scriptures out of contexts and turn them around to use them for purposes of themselves. I think one other scripture that you mentioned earlier as it relates to being submissive, taking scripture out of context, even those who may not be full-pledged believers or practicing believers, they will take portions out of scripture to use them to say, well, you should be submissive and you should obey. However, we know that when that happens, especially if a person say that they are practicing or if they are not practicing those particular scriptures, actually it should be reciprocated based on if you continue to read the scriptures. So it's not one person having rule over another person. So it's very important that we look at scriptures based on the context, the time period, the purpose of the author in which they were writing, and not necessarily just taking the scripture and saying, well, oh, this is literally what it's saying, and you have to obey me and do exactly what I say, when I say, how I say, do it, which is abusive because that is total power and control of another individual, and that's not love. So it's very important that we're in tune to the signs of abuse, what a healthy relationship is and what a healthy relationship is not. And a healthy relationship is not one person controlling another person, but a healthy relationship is understanding. A healthy relationship is one respecting another person's viewpoint. A healthy relationship is having an opportunity to be respectful of one's thoughts, one's concerns, one's belief. But when we look at unhealthiness, that means that the other person controls and dictates what another person thinks, they feel, what they do, what they cannot do, where they go. All of those things are abusive behaviors.
Thank you very much. We are talking about addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. A good place if you want to use scriptures in your relationship, here is a good love scripture to use. It's in 1 John 4:7-8. It says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love." Addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. God is love. God is not physically abusive. God is not psychologically abusive. God is not sexually abusive. God is omnipresent, but God doesn't stalk people. And so if we're saying that we're manifesting the love of God, and somebody's in our lives and we're trying to manifest the love of God, the love of God that we manifest should refrain, cause us to be restrained from practicing physical violence, psychological violence, stalking, and sexual violence, because those behaviors do not conform to the image of God in the life of people who profess to be holding on to God. And what we are saying is that if you take the word of God and you want to stand on the word of God, then you cannot be selective about what you choose on the word of God. You cannot distort the scriptures. Dr. Pearson was talking about Ephesians, wives, submit unto your husbands, which is what we use. Again, we're careful to say that we do know that some women are abusive, but we know that this particular scriptures in Ephesians 5:22 is often used to subject the woman to abuse and is often used by men to exercise power and control over their victims. And our charge to people, anybody who's listening, is to say to you, for the love of God, go to your Bible, that's what you use, and see what the love of God says about loving your neighbor, which will be your spouse. Look at that person and see that person is being made in the image and the likeness of God. Go to 1 Corinthians 13. Look at the attributes of love. And can you be manifesting those attributes and be abusive? Dr. Pearson, is that possible to be manifesting the attributes that are listed in 1 Corinthians 13 of love and be an abusive person?
Absolutely, absolutely not. Love is not something that should cause hurt or sorrow. And we know that when a person is in an abusive relationship, they are crushed. Actually, they lose themselves to the perpetrator of abuse. So even their thinking is not their own, because their thinking now is to please that person. Anything that they could do so the person won't be harsh towards them or harsh towards their children or to their animals. So their whole mindset is solely, they have been lost in that person. And that is not love, to lose yourself and to become subservient to another person that controls your thought pattern, your mind, your body, your soul. And the Bible tells us that God gives us free will to choose, but we cannot choose if we have been abused and controlled by someone else. And it's very difficult when a person has been in an abusive relationship, especially for an extended period of time, to come back and to try and learn who they are, because they've lost themselves. They don't even know what they like, because the person that has been controlling them tells them, well, this is your favorite color. Even though you may not like this particular meal, this is what you like because they like it. Your whole life surrounds pleasing this person, being in this person's presence, being at their beckoning call, because you have just become basically their slave. And oftentimes than not, before a person can come to the realization that they have lost themselves, they are lost. And we know that this behavior of abuse is something that is learned. It is something that is very manipulative. The person knows exactly what they are doing. Oftentimes, individuals may say, well, they have a anger problem. Well, they're only angry with their intimate partner. They're not going to stores and being angry with the clerk. They may break your arm because you're their intimate partner, but they didn't break the person's arm when they went and got a meal from the Olive Garden. They didn't break the person's arm when they went to cash their check. And oftentimes people conjure it up as relates to anger, and they need help. They are an abuser. And the only person they are abusing and controlling is their intimate partner. They are an abuser. They do not have an anger problem. They have an abusive problem. And it has to be clear. It doesn't matter if they are a faith leader, if they are a pastor. An abuser is an abuser. And it's not a mental issue. Most times, an abuser is an abuser. I know a person can have dual diagnosis and could have substance abuse issues, and they could be bipolar or schizophrenic. But the average abuser is an abuser, and they only abuse their intimate partner. But it's very important for us to understand and distinguish between the love of God and what God shows through his word, through the examples of the Bible that has been given, what true love is. And it is not being controlled. It is not having someone to have rule and power over another, which oftentimes is done in faith organizations, not just in the Christian faith, but in all faiths. Domestic violence, intimate partner violence, spans all cultures, all religions, and it is a learned behavior, and it is something that can be unlearned.
Thank you very much, Dr. Pearson, and we thank you for joining us today. Today we have been coming to you, the Howard County Coalition to Prevent Intimate Partner Violence, and we have talked about addressing intimate partner violence for the love of God. Our charge to you today has been that instead of using scripture as a basis for practicing power and control over your spouse, and so oppressing your spouse, you should really use scriptures to understand the love of God and manifest the love of God in your relationship. You can check us out, The Rest of Our Life, www.therestofourlife.com. You can send your emails to therestofourlife@gmail.com. Dr. Pearson, would you like to send your information as we sign out?
www.akedapearson.com. That's www.akedapearson.com.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to joining you some other time.
Thank you for having me.